Today on Family Talk.
We have a culture now where I think you can be assured that often what is taught at school is in direct contradiction to biblical and often constitutional principles. It's a deep, deep concern that has parents concerned, it has communities concerned, and I think it also, Dr. Dobson, increasingly has the church waking up, the church in America being concerned, and so I think it's a desperate hour for our nation.
This is indeed a desperate hour, and today's guest is on the forefront of the battle for religious liberty in education. Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Roger Marsh, and if you're concerned about the impact the LGBT agenda may have on Christian education, you do not want to miss a minute of today's program. Let's jump right in now as Dr. Dobson introduces our guest.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Family Talk. I'm your host, Dr. James Dobson, and today we had originally planned to devote this program primarily or exclusively for the people of the state of California, because there is an issue that's going on out there that's of great concern to us and the guest who is here. But after talking to him and getting acquainted with him, I think the entire nation needs to hear what he has to say. And so we're going to begin by addressing that piece of legislation that concerns us, and then we'll move on to the broader picture. But first, let me say to Dr. John Jackson how much I appreciate you flying over here with your wife, Pam, who's sitting at the table. And I promise not to ask her a question, but she's here anyway. But it's good to have you here.
Thank you, Dr. Dobson. This is such a privilege for both of us and an honor. We think of literally decades of your ministry and influence into our lives, and we are a small example of the fruit that I know that you and Shirley have had over the years. So thank you.
You and I have a lot in common, and that became very clear as we talked together. Let me introduce John Jackson to those who don't know him. He is one of the leaders of the fight for righteousness in this country. That's very clear. He is president of William Jessup University. It's a private Christian liberal arts school in Rockland, California, right near Sacramento, I believe.
Yes, doctor. Yeah. We're about 18 miles from the Capitol on your way to Lake Tahoe.
Before he was an educator, Dr. Jackson was a pastor for 30 years at a number of churches, including Bayside Church in Northern California. He holds degrees in both theology and education, including a PhD in educational administration and organizational studies from the University of California, Santa Barbara. It is such a pleasure to have him here because of what's going on in the culture. Are you concerned about what is happening? What has happened in the last, say, 8 years, to just take a number, to this nation and where we appear to be headed?
Dr. Dobson, I, like you, have grown up with a great love of our country. I've been a student of history. I sometimes think of myself as an amateur historian. And I think the pace and the direction of change, the accelerated pace and the direction of change the last 8 years, has just been shocking. I'm deeply, deeply concerned.
It's not only change, but it's deterioration from our point of view. Speaking of the meaning of righteousness in the culture, explain why that is of major concern to us.
Well, Dr. Dobson, I think I grew up in an era, my wife Pam and I often talk about the fact that when we grew up, our parents could send us to school and assume, generally speaking, that the school would teach moral values that were consistent with what we held at home. Now, fast forward, I'm in my sixth decade of life, age 55, and we have a culture now where I think you can be assured that often what is taught at school is in direct contradiction to biblical and often constitutional principles. It's a deep, deep concern that has parents concerned, it has communities concerned, and I think it also, Dr. Dobson, increasingly has the church waking up, the church in America being concerned, and so I think it's a desperate hour for our nation.
Do you see that happening?
I do. I've been concerned. I'm a pastor. I love the church. I always say that the church is God's plan A and there's no plan B. But every church I've ever led, every church I've been a part of, has been flawed and failing and has had a flawed and failing leader. I've been nervous that the church perhaps has been asleep for the last couple decades, with wonderful exceptions, of course. But I see the church waking up. I see the church beginning to hear the burden and concern, and I'm thankful that the church is waking up.
All right, let's talk about that piece of legislation that I made reference to, because it really is breathtaking. It was called SB 1146, right?
That's correct, SB 1146.
And give us the scope of it. What would that bill have meant to the church and to Christian education if it had passed as originally intended?
Senator Lara introduced the bill, SB 1146, in the early part of the session. And essentially what he was saying is, first of all, today there's a religious exemption for colleges that are faith-based in California, that if any part of the state law violates their religious tenets, that the school would have an exemption. By the way, that's the same kind of exemption that exists in federal law. Senator Lara's bill, SB 1146, would have removed that exemption. It would have required schools to notify students that they had a religious exemption, and it would have ultimately required the school to register with the Student Aid Commission. And perhaps most chillingly, the last part of the bill is that it would have reserved a private right of action for any student who felt like they experienced any form of discrimination to file a lawsuit. And by the way, Doctor, you probably know the major point of the bill was LGBT, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, now some have added Q, queer, to that. And that lobby pushed hard for that bill. In fact, was a co-sponsor. Equality California was a co-sponsor of the bill with Senator Lara.
And the ACLU was involved in it, too.
What happened initially is the ACLU was not involved, but then, believe it or not, that bill was pretty chilling to us because it would have had major implications, things like restrooms, housing, locker rooms. All those challenges would have literally been on the doorstep and in the front room of faith-based colleges in California were that bill to have passed. Towards the end, maybe 3 months into it, the ACLU joined in with force, and they were opposed to the bill, Dr. Dobson. They were opposed to the bill because they said it didn't go far enough.
Oh, my. That says it all, doesn't it?
It does.
Tell me what that would have meant in practical terms to your university and to other Christian colleges. You know, Shirley and I graduated from a Christian college there. It's now Point Loma, yeah. A Nazarene college. It was called Pasadena College then. But I know a lot about Christian education in California and have reason to care about it. It really posed a threat to limit the very meaning of Christian education, didn't it?
It did. And, Doctor, you know I'm a pastor by background. And so what the scripture often says, what the enemy intended for evil, the Lord brought to good. And that's one of the positive things. All the Christian schools in California have gathered together. The practical implication of the bill would have affected our school and all other faith-based schools is in admissions, housing, and athletics. You no longer would be able to differentiate between gender. So in other words, if a person identifies as male or identifies as female, they would have then be able to be admitted as such, housed as such, restroom access, locker rooms, athletic facilities. That's the implications
so
of these kind of bills.
Co-ed dorms would be necessary.
Necessary, absolutely.
Yeah.
What we've said repeatedly, Doctor, is that these are not convictions that we've come to in the last week or decade or few decades. A lot of these ideas we're hearing are just literally in the last couple of decades. These are biblical, moral, spiritual convictions that have been held by us and all major world religions for millennia. And so we've said at William Jessup University, we will not compromise. We think that sexuality, gender, and marriage matters. And so we're not willing to compromise. It's a biblical, theological conviction.
Dr. Jackson, that bill came very, very close to being law. We're quite certain that the governor, Jerry Brown, would have signed it if it had gotten through both houses of the state legislature. It did get through the Senate, didn't it?
It did. An early version got through the Senate. Then it went to the Assembly. Thankfully, by the time it got to the Assembly, we were able to alert folks throughout the state. Very strong response, Doctor. I want to just give thanks not only to your listeners and who they represent, but to other Christ-centered institutions, to churches, to pastors, family councils, literally across the country began to be mobilized. And so our concern, if the bill had passed as it was written, we do think it's possible the governor would have signed it. And that would have had tragic consequences for the state of California and beyond.
And yet it's not over. It's really not over because they never give up. The other side never gives up. I think I should explain that we invited you here to talk about that legislation because it could not be allowed to become law. But you're here today, even though things have changed, because there's still a threat. The ACLU and LGBTQ will not give up. Christians win or lose a battle, and they go back and think about other things, you know, and their jobs and their kids and do what good citizens do. But the other side is devoted to that cause to the teeth. And there's no doubt about the fact in my mind, and I wonder about yours, that a similar piece of legislation will show up very soon.
Well, Dr. Dobson, if I could take a page from your book, I know that you teach parents to parent with a legacy in mind. In other words, you parent on purpose. You parent with some values, with intentionality. And you can't simply set parenting principles in motion at age 5. And once you see good evidence that they're working, neglect the child until they're 17.
Yeah.
Parenting is a daily, hourly experience. Well, in the same way, this bill today, it appears as though we've been able to stop the bill from becoming law, and it appears that we have reached a compromise at this moment. However, the senator himself, along with folks from the other groups that you mentioned, like ACLU, have indicated that not only will they come back, they will come back in full force. And so we expect at the beginning of the next legislative session that we may face a more onerous bill. Now, what I want to call the church to, what I want to call the people of God to, what I want to call people who care about the Constitution to, is to vigilance. We must not be lulled into complacency. We have to be committed to constitutional principles, if you're a follower of Jesus, to biblical principles, and do that in such a way that we preserve the republic that the Lord has given us.
The gay lobby, gay and lesbian lobby, pretty much own the state legislature in California, don't they?
Well, quite frankly, California is roughly speaking a 2/3, 1/3 state. So, yes, the influence of that lobby is tremendous in California. And I can only give thanks again to the Lord, thanks to listeners like yours who activated, who engaged with this process. But again, Dr. Dobson, we know we're likely to face this challenge again because they will not go away.
Mm-hmm. Well, that brings us to the election that's about to come around, the presidential election. And we can't be political here. We're a 501c3 and we will comply with the law. But there are all kinds of implications for gender interpretation and marriage and bathrooms and other things that will result from the outcome of this election. I'm not even sure it's one-sided. It may – who knows? It may be that both candidates will lean in that direction. We don't know that yet. At this point, it looks like – I mean, it's certain that one feels that way, but we really don't know that. The culture is in flux. It's in change, and we're in great danger about losing the fundamentals of the Christian faith.
Dr. Dobson, I couldn't agree more with you. In fact, let me just say, a mutual friend of ours, Jim Garlow, has been just a glorious crusader, a wonderful pastor and leader, and he has a great advice for folks. You read the Bible, but I would also encourage people to read the party platforms. You ultimately have to vote for a candidate, but you also have to vote for principles. And I'm not going to tell anybody who to vote for, but I think there are biblical and constitutional principles that relate to life, to gender, to sexuality, to marriage. And if you read the party platforms, I think that constitutionally committed Americans and biblically committed Americans will have clear choices to make this fall.
Hmm. You know, Dr. Clyde Cook was the president of Biola University for 25 years. I know you knew him well.
I did, and my wife had the opportunity to attend Biola, and our second daughter actually got a graduate degree there. So we're great friends.
And my
Biola.
Son graduated from
wonderful.
There, and my daughter from Azusa Pacific.
And one of so our that... children graduated from Azusa, and now we have another child at Azusa. So we're in a little bit of a mutual admiration society.
Well, that will tell you how I feel about Christian education. But Dr. Clyde Cook came to see me shortly before he died. He had been the president for 25 years, and I had a wonderful conversation with him. I loved him and appreciated what he stood for. And I said, Clyde, answer a question for me. In 25 years, how have your students changed? And what has that transformation been like? He said, it's night and day. Now, I don't know whether this will offend some people, especially young people or not, but I'm going to tell you what he said. He said 25 years ago when students arrived in their freshman year, we could count on them having a foundation of biblical truth. They had been taught it in their churches. They had been taught it at home. And they knew a lot about the Bible. Coming in, he said, that is no longer true. So many of the families are dysfunctional. So many of the families don't have a foundation themselves. They weren't taught it in their homes and when they were young and children. So they don't have a commitment to the Word. And these are generalizations. There are many, many exceptions. But he said that it was just very apparent that there was work to be done. And they've had to change the curriculum for Biola. This is back a number of years ago. In order to compensate, they had to add courses that had to be taken to compensate for the fact that they couldn't count on students already having that basic understanding. Have you found that out? How would you react to what he said?
Dr. Dobson, I'm having a hard time not reacting too strongly. I was a pastor for 30-plus years, and I remember the moment. It was about 15-plus years ago when I started telling relatively common Bible stories from the platform in my teaching, and I would look out and see nothing but blank stares. And it came to me that the people had no idea 15, 20 years ago what I was saying because they had no knowledge of the Bible stories. Now, let me fast forward. Today, Dr. Dobson, I consider one of the greatest social problems the fatherlessness in America.
Yeah.
And because of the transitions we've had in home, you're so right. Many students, many children who then become students do not have a biblical worldview. So at Jessup and other faith-based schools, you're absolutely right. We're having to begin with the assumption that there's not much there, that biblical knowledge, biblical worldview is simply not a part of their vocabulary or their experience. And we have to build that in the first year of a Christian college experience.
That's the next generation, John.
It is.
Those are the people that are going to be making the decisions and being in positions of responsibility in a few years. Many of them already are. And they don't know the Word of God.
That's why I say, Doctor, I just celebrate biblical principles and constitutional principles. I think if we can teach people well the basics of the Word of God, the narrative of creation, fall, redemption, the glory of God, the kingdom of God, teach basic biblical principles, and then help people understand the glorious history we have here in America. It is a gift of God. I don't know how your listeners will feel about this, but if anybody asks about American exceptionalism, I'm 100% on board. I think this is an exceptional experience in liberty and freedom. I think God's given the world a gift in America, and it's a gift that we have a sacred trust and stewardship to be able to preserve for the next generations.
I said a minute ago that I believed in Christian education, and I do. But let's be honest, not everything that occurs under the rubric of Christian education is consistent with at least what I believe biblically. And I want to talk about your university, William Jessup University. Tell us a little more about it. Bill Armstrong, former senator in the state of Colorado, was president of Colorado Christian University. He's gone on to be with the Lord now, but he was here, and boy, he talked about the things that I believe. But it's really not all that common in Christian education. Yeah, dare you wade into that and tell me about your school?
I'll wade into it a little bit. I'll tell you more about our school in just a moment. Let me say a word about Bill. Bill was that glorious example of somebody who was deeply embedded in constitutional principles, had a strong biblical worldview, and he never was hesitant to tell people about it. He and I got in trouble a few times at large national gatherings because we'd be off in the corner talking about politics and scripture. Wonderful, wonderful man. Let me say this, Dr. Dobson, and again, I hope not to offend. I hope to encourage. Deuteronomy 6, where it talks about a parent's role to teach their children, I do not believe that that stops at the moment you drop your kids off at college. Once a parent, always a parent. So I would say to the parents who are listening, be vigilant. Just because a school has the name Christian in it, just because it has a Christian background, I went to an undergraduate school that had been founded by a church, but on the first day of my Old Testament class in school as a freshman in college, the PhD professor said there might have been an Abraham. Now, Dr. Dobson, I was foolish. I raised my hand. I had my Bible. I turned to Genesis 12. I knew my scripture well enough to turn to where Abraham's story was. And the professor said, why do you believe that? That's just a fable. This was a school founded by Christians. So parents, Deuteronomy 6 does not end at the time you drop your children off to college.
My goodness.
So let me tell you a little bit about Jessup.
Did parents know that?
Nope.
Did they object?
My parents did not know that. They did object, and I was so grateful. My father was a pastor. We had prayed that God would provide the funds to go to a school, and this school was the one that provided the funds. So I actually ended up having a good college experience because I had my mother and father with me, praying with me, encouraging me. And then the last 2 years of college, I had my wife with me, and she was my partner in the process of going through school. So I know you had that experience as well.
You referred a few minutes ago to the necessity of introducing your children to not only a biblical worldview, but getting them ready for heaven. Those are my words,
yes.
But that's what you were referring to. And you and your wife, Pam, had five children, and she homeschooled them all the way through high school.
Well, we had the five children. Three of the children were girls, or the first three, and they were homeschooled all through high school. Then we had the two boys. They ended up going into private and then public school later in their education for athletic activities. But my wife is the hero of this story. She was an amazingly faithful, godly woman and mother and wife. An amazing, amazing gift.
Do you agree with me in what I wrote in my book, Legacy, The Greatest Gift, that there is no responsibility in parenting more important than getting them ready for eternity?
Absolutely right. I would often teach this, Dr. Dobson. Tragically, I think sometimes Christian parents believe that the greatest future for their children is to be happy or healthy or wealthy. And I think the greatest future is for them to know God and to walk with Him every day. That's what Christian parenting is all about, to teach your children and introduce them to Jesus, have them know God, and be prepared to live with Him for all eternity.
You've been listening to Dr. John Jackson on Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson. There's still much more to cover on this topic, so be sure to join us again next time to hear what you can do to be prepared for the upcoming attacks on religious liberty in education. You already know that here at Family Talk, we are committed to bringing you programs like this to help you parent the next generation for Christ. You'll find more useful resources on our website at drjamesdobson.org. And if you want to discuss these ideas with like-minded people, be sure to join our active Facebook community at facebook.com/drjamesdobson. Now, of course, we can only offer these great tools through the support of our listeners, like you. So would you please consider making a donation today? You can donate online at drjamesdobson.org or call us at 877-732-6825. Thanks so much for standing with us. And we'll see you again tomorrow right here for another edition of Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning into our program today. You may know that Family Talk is a listener-supported program, and we remain on the air by your generosity, literally. If you can help us financially, we would certainly appreciate it. God's blessings to you all.
Who doesn't want to be encouraged to make their marriage stronger? Our new Family Talk iPhone app is designed especially to uplift your marriage in a way that makes it easy for both husbands and wives to find great resources. Loaded with articles, broadcasts, and videos, the new Family Talk app will provide you practical tips on making your marriage all it can be. The customized Family Talk app tailors content around where you are in life. Whether you're a husband, wife, dad, or mom, the Family Talk app will provide you with daily inspiration to strengthen your marriage and invest into the lives of your children. The app also allows you to set personal reminders around life's greatest priorities, your faith and family. Go to drjamesdobson.org/app. Again, that's drjamesdobson.org/app to download your free customized Family Talk app today.